And with that, Director Ryan, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Morning, Director.
Morning, sir.
Good morning. Welcome, everyone. My name is Matt Giordano. I'm the director of Arizona Post. Just a few announcements to begin with. First of all, I think you've all met her on the board, but Jamie Kelly is our new board member. We're excited to have her. She's one of our citizen board members. Jamie is currently, or was the founder and is currently the executive director of a not-for-profit named Not All Heroes. We're excited to have her. She comes highly recommended, and we look forward to having her represent on the board. Just a few agenda changes for us today. If you look at your packets in our consent agreements under item 3, Barclay Perry, case 18-156, he no longer desires to go through a voluntary relinquishment, so we're going to move that to a future agenda. And then also all 5 of the training deficiencies, which are notated in item number 5, have been satisfied, so we can remove them as well.
Thank you, sir.
No, those are all the announcements I have.
Okay, no other introductions, presentations, announcements. We'll move on to the consent agenda. With those modifications, I would ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the consent agenda as modified by the director.
Who are you?
I am John Galt. Andrew Lefevre.
I have a motion.
Second.
And I have a second. From Chief Rodbell.
Oh, sorry.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you, Frank. And the motion carries. With that, we are going to be moving on to the Executive Director's report.
Well, I've gotten smarter. I don't go back to my chair anymore now. it's been a little bit slower with the holidays, so it's not quite as much to report this month, but I just wanted to give you an update of some of the things that I have done that we've done collectively. I had the option or the privilege of attending the DPS Trooper graduation on December 20th. It was an all DPS class. It was very inspiring. So if anyone hasn't attended a graduation, I know we all do, but for anyone who hasn't attended a graduation in a while, I encourage you to do so because it really is an inspiring event. I also attended the Pinal County Law Enforcement Association meeting last week down in Florence. Again, it's just an opportunity for all law enforcement from Pinal County to get together and discuss. I do a lot of listening there just to see what's going on around the state, and in this case in Pinal County, to get a better idea how we can help them with their endeavors. One thing we're working on now, Steve Entman, our training supervisor, he coordinated a meeting with Police One at their request to explore online training capabilities for the state. Some other local agencies have already done so. So we met with them this week to get a presentation. They set us up with training accounts to get a really good idea of how we could implement that statewide if we chose to go that direction. Again, we're just looking for a better, more efficient way to connect with law enforcement across the state with limited financial resources. I'm in the process of making the final corrections on an advertisement for our open systems administrator posting. I think we talked about that about 2 meetings ago. That position's been open for 8 or 9 months now, I believe, and it's imperative that we fill that. So I'm working with DPS HR to get that out. Hopefully, my plan is to have that out by the end of the week advertised. We talked about it last meeting, but the electrical panels in the building were all deemed unsafe by our electrician. So we had those replaced the beginning of January. I sent the board a message to let everyone know that we're going to be offline for the week. It took almost a full week to get those all done. Again, this is an aging building, and we're making repairs as necessary, but we replaced all electrical panels in the entire building, so we had to take down our complete server. And I'd like to actually acknowledge 2 of my employees. I don't know if either one of them are here today, but William Rogers was here on site working hand-in-hand with the contractors, and then Hot Bowie worked with the ADOA to take down our servers. Again, it's critical because we reach out to every law enforcement agency in the state. So we had to take those down offline, and then he stayed here while they were working, and then he was able to bring them all back up. And knock on wood, we haven't had any problems with any further electrical issues since that time. January 29th, we are hosting, in conjunction with Chandler PD at their training facility, we're hosting a statewide training coordinators meeting to bring everyone from around the state together. It's a half-day training. We're going to bring in some outside vendors. We're going to be doing some presentations. And again, it's just looking for ways to better connect with the training officers from around the state to see what, one, what they're doing, what we're doing with them, and how we can help them moving forward. And then last week, we hosted, in conjunction with the local office, the local branch of the COPS, Concerns of Police Survivors, on Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, we hosted a blood drive here. Marie Dreyer did all the legwork behind the scenes, and it was a successful event here on our property. Then finally, I'll just go right into my legislative update, if that's okay.
Yes,
as everyone knows, the session kicked off this week. I've already attended a few meetings, just making sure that I'm staying in the loop of what's going on. As of right now, I think the only thing that's out there, that there's no bills that I know that have any effect on Arizona Post at this time, but we are tracking a couple, and I'll keep you updated as they progress. But I just want to let you know that I am staying engaged and making sure that that your desires are represented in that process.
I have one question, and maybe I have just heard. I was at the legislature yesterday, and I heard there might be something coming forward on a Brady list that ASPOST might be housing, and I don't know if you've heard any, but just keep your ears peeled. I heard something like that down there yesterday. And
yeah, I was at a meeting earlier in the week with a lot of the stakeholders for the criminal justice agencies, and that wasn't a topic of conversation. So, yeah, I definitely keep an eye on that.
Okay, because I thought the State County Attorneys Association or something in that effect would be the ones housing that, but I don't know if somebody's trying to pass it off or, yeah.
I can tell you that APAC has been working with that. There's been a working group, and which includes law enforcement, and I think there's actually some point for MassPost on that, or there was early on. And they just concluded the working group. They're going to make recommendations to the APAC Council, I think, probably not tomorrow, but maybe the next month.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And that was it for the legislative report?
Yes, sir. Any questions? Be happy to answer any questions you might have.
All right. Where are we going next? Did you want to get into any other summary of current events with the training?
No, sir.
All right. Then we will go down to Department of Corrections. Any updates, Director Ryan?
Mr. Chairman, members, this report covers the period of December 11th through January the 9th. At our COTA Academy in Tucson, a total of 71 out of 76 cadets graduated. 5 cadets resigned, 4 were recycled in, 5 recycled out, none dismissed. Currently, we have 4 classes in session with 102 cadets attending. In terms of vacancies and attrition of the 6,655 officer positions, 1,150, or 17.28%, are vacant. And our current attrition rate in FY19 is 12.14%, and no cadets have participated in the waiver program in FY19. In terms of county and tribal detention IGAs to date in FY19, there have been 11 outside graduates from Salt River, Santa Cruz, Cochise, Pascua Yaqui, and Casa Grande Police Department. And at COTA, the K-9 Academy continued its training during December and graduated January the 4th. That's been reported.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for the director? Comments? Okay, we'll be moving on to Director. Do you have an update on the Navajo Nation Department of Public Safety Academy?
I do, sir. Thank you.
We talked about this briefly last month. I just wanted to keep you up to date last month, but I wanted to put on the agenda this month because at that time we had no progress in this matter. However, at the end of last week, Seth Hargraves, we were finally able to connect him with the Department of Justice attorney for the Navajo Nation, and they've since had a conversation and discussed some of our concerns that he was going and what they asked from us. And Seth has already provided me a draft that I reviewed this morning on just what actually are our concerns. They were looking at a lot of the statutes, but they weren't looking at the administrative code. So Seth outlined put together a really well-written document that I can provide to the board at a later date that outlines all of our concerns with them hosting their own academy that has not been approved by Arizona Post. So again, we have finally been able to connect and open those lines of communication. We're still waiting for documentation from Chief Francisco that we have not received as far as their curriculum goes for their current academy, as well as some issues they had to reference updated training compliance forms. So we're still waiting for that, but I think this was a positive first step that we were finally able to connect the two attorneys to discuss it at that level, and I'll just continue to keep the board updated. Obviously, we have some concerns, and I'd be happy to take any questions or any direction you have moving forward for this matter.
Questions, comments, or direction other than what's taking place? Just keep doing what you're doing, reference to the issue.
Absolutely. I'll keep you apprised.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I think next on the agenda, Mr. Hargraves, we're going to be looking at a petition from the Colorado City Marshal's Office.
Good morning, Seth Hargraves, Assistant Attorney General. This is an agenda item regarding a request by the Colorado City Marshal's Office for a temporary restricted peace officer certification for their new chief, Mark Askerlin, based upon current physical limitations. The board's rules, Administrative Code R13-4-109-01, authorizes the board to grant restricted certification status. This is kind of a standard practice that the board has done in the past, and staff would recommend you approve the request. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions, comments? Having none, I would ask for a motion for approval.
Alan Rodbell, I'll move the board grant a restricted peace officer certification to Chief Mark Askerlin. This certification restricts the chief from being assigned any duty likely to result in the need to apply physical force, and further, the potential for such a need is so remote as to be highly unlikely and is authorized only while he's employed with the Colorado City Marshal's Office.
Frank Milstead, second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Hargraves. And looks like we'll be moving into final action cases. Case number 17-161, Mr. Hargraves.
Yes, this is a case involving Dionysius Cazares. This is actually the first time this case is coming before you. Officer Cazares, formerly with the Marana Police Department, on September 17, 2017, used her work computer to access CJIS information on two license plates for personal reasons. She was terminated from her employment and was eventually charged with and pled down to Class 1 misdemeanors for computer tampering. Before you, for consideration of resolving this matter, is a consent agreement for a 12-month suspension from October 28, 2017 through October 28, 2018 for your consideration and possible approval. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
So Seth, my only thought is that probably this happens from time to time. The question is, does this stay consistent with what we've done in the past?
Yes, looking at some past history, kind of similar cases have ranged from a 23-day suspension, one-year suspension, two-month, up to revocation and voluntary relinquishment. A lot of those are case-by-case depending upon whether there are additional facts, including dishonesty. But for these particular facts, this is pretty consistent with past action.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Having none, may I have a motion, please?
I move to accept the consent agreement for a 12-month suspension of peace officer certification to run from October 28, 2017 to October 28, 2018.
Jeff Ryan, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to case number 218-099, Mr. Hargraves.
Yes, this is a case involving Samuel Madrid, former trooper with the Arizona Department of Public Safety. This is another one. This is the first time coming before you. Trooper Madrid conducted a traffic stop August of 2017. Thereafter, in October, attended a civil traffic hearing to testify on behalf of the case. Shortly after that, the individual who had been stopped complained to the DPS that the trooper had given false testimony at the traffic hearing. During the course of internal affairs investigation, Trooper Madrid acknowledged that his testimony was vague and he possibly did not have an accurate recollection and memory of the events because he didn't properly document the notes on the citation. It was possible he gave false information testimony at the hearing. Before you is a, for consideration, is a consent agreement for a six-month suspension of certification from June 15th of 2018 through December 15th, 2018. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Frank Milstead, I'll recuse myself.
Record reflects that, and we still have a quorum. Any other questions, comments? Having none, may I have a motion?
I'm Matt Medina. I move to accept the consent agreement for a six-month suspension of peace officer certification to run from June 15, 2018 through December 15, 2018.
Second, Paul Ehler.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion on the motion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Mr. Hargraves, we're moving on to case number 18-040.
Yes, this case involves Joseph Cole. There was a felony conviction, entered a plea for violating statutes regarding endangerment, criminal damage, class 6 felonies. Under your rules, Arizona Administrative Code R13-4-109, upon receipt of judgment of felony conviction, the board is required to revoke certification. So we'd ask the board to take action in followance of your rules and revoke certification in this matter.
Questions or comments? We don't have a motion.
I'll make, Paul Ehler, I'll make a motion for revocation of certification.
Second. Alan Rodwell, second.
And a motion, second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We're moving on to 18087. Mr. Hargraves?
Yes, this case involves Howard Waldrep, formerly with the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. Similar to the previous case, there's a documentation of felony conviction. In this particular instance, solicitation to commit forgery. Was sentenced in December 13, 2018. On that felony conviction, and per your rules, that would require a revocation.
Questions, comments? May I have a motion?
Andy Lefevre, I move that we institute a mandatory revocation of certification.
Greg Milstead, second.
Motion, second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hargraves. Good morning, Mr. Perkovich. We are on 17151.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Mark Perkovich, your compliance manager here at AZ Post. On this first case, back on October 17th, 2018, the board voted to initiate proceedings. This was against the peace officer certification held by Mr. Justin Corvello, who was formerly with the Mesa Police Department. Notice of complaint was mailed, again, by both regular and certified mail. While the certified mailings were returned to AZ Post as unclaimed, the regular mailing was not. To date, Mr. Corvello has not requested a hearing. In summary, it was back in February of 2017 that Sergeant Justin Corvello was the subject of four separate internal affairs investigations by the Mesa Police Department. The Departmental Disciplinary Review Board reviewed all four of these investigations and sustained various allegations against him. This was to include conduct unbecoming an officer. This was for his actions during a neighborhood dispute on February 4th, 2017. His failure to obey a direct order from a supervisor. This was for his intentional disregard of an order from a lieutenant issued on March the 28th, 2017. Again, conduct unbecoming an officer for creating a fictitious social media page which contained false misleading information about a fellow Mesa Police Department officer. And last, disobeying a departmental rule or order. This was for his failure to comply with an order not to discuss internal affairs investigations with unauthorized personnel. It was noted that he had several outside discussions regarding the matters under investigation. On October 1st, 2017, Mr. Corvello retired from the Mesa Police Department. Research by AZ Post staff has determined in past similar fact-based circumstances, the board action has resulted in a range from suspension to revocation. I'd be happy to answer any questions today.
No questions. May I have a motion?
I'll make a motion, Paul Ehler, that we accept the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and impose a sanction of revocation.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Chuck Ryan, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
Jamie Kelly, recusal.
So noted. And if there's no other discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Perkovich, we are moving on to 18-100.
Yes, once again, back on October 17th, 2018, the board voted to initiate proceedings. This was against the peace officer certification held by Mr. Francisco Mendez. Mr. Mendez was formerly with the Goodyear Police Department. The notice of complaint, again, was mailed by regular and certified mail. On this occasion, the certified mailing was returned to AZ Post. However, the regular mailing was not. In addition to the formalized service, Mr. Mendez also was sent and acknowledged an email receipt of the complaint, which was sent to him electronically. And to date, Mr. Mendez has not requested a hearing. In brief summary, it was back on April 14th, 2018, that officers with the Tempe Police Department had arrested Goodyear Police Department Officer Francisco Mendez. He was ultimately charged with urinating in public and driving under the influence of alcohol. At the time of the incident, Officer Mendez, who was off duty, had told Tempe officers upon contact that someone else had been operating the vehicle in question. In a later interview with internal affairs investigators from his agency, Officer Mendez actually admitted that he had been driving the vehicle on the night of the incident and had provided false information to the investigating officers during the criminal investigation. On July 23, 2018, Officer Mendez was terminated from the Goodyear Police Department. Research by AZ Post staff has determined in past similar fact-based circumstances. The board action has resulted in revocation and or the acceptance of a voluntary relinquishment. There it is.
Thank you, sir. Any questions or comments? Having none, may I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Perkovich. This gets back to the issue of DUIs, and you indicated that in the past we've recommended revocation on this type of situation.
It wasn't because it was tied directly to the DUI. The board has looked at aggravating factors, oftentimes in the arena of dishonesty or integrity. On this such occasion, he was dishonest with the investigating officers, and that would potentially be an aggravating factor for the board's consideration.
So it wasn't a Garrity issue per se. When they're doing an investigation like that in the field, is that a pre-Garrity or post-Garrity?
That's correct.
Situation?
It would be he was an involved person or a suspect in a criminal offense. During his post-Garrity interview, he was honest with the administrative investigators.
Any other questions, comments? Having none, may I have a motion, please?
Frank Milstead, I make a motion that we accept the findings of fact and conclusion of law and impose a sanction of revocation.
Al Rodbell seconds.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on that motion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Mr. Perkovich, 18-102.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Once again, on October 17th, 2018, the board voted to initiate proceedings against peace officer certification held by Mr. Ryan Fisher. Mr. Fisher is formerly with the Lake Havasu City Police Department. Again, the notice of complaint was mailed by regular and certified mail. Mr. Fisher was noted to have signed receipt for the certified mailing on October 25th, 2018, and to date, he has not requested a hearing. In summary, back on July 5th, 2018, Lake Havasu City Police Officer Ryan Fisher was dispatched to a civil standby. This was at a local hotel to assist a woman who reported that her ex-boyfriend would not let her back in the room to retrieve her belongings. Additionally, hotel staff would not allow this particular woman access because the room was only in the name of the male party who was not present. Officer Fisher responded to the call, contacted the woman, and discovered the male half again was not on scene. After some discussion, Officer Ryan instructed the hotel desk attendant to allow the woman access into the room, to which they subsequently did. Upon entry, the woman committed a theft by taking an iPad belonging to that male subject. When questioned by supervisors and later by internal affairs investigators, Officer Ryan was dishonest when he denied instructing the desk attendant to allow Ms. CA back into the room. On July 26, 2018, Officer Fisher was terminated from the Lake Havasu City Police Department. Research by AZ Post staff has determined in past similar fact-based circumstances, board action has resulted in revocation. Are there any questions?
No questions. We have a motion.
Alan Robb, I'll make a motion to accept the findings of facts and conclusions of the law and impose a sanction of revocation and certification of police officer status.
Chuck Ryan, second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Perkovich, we're moving on to 18-104.
Yes, on October 17, 2018, the board voted to initiate proceedings against peace officer certification held by Mr. Craig Scott. Mr. Scott is formerly with the Phoenix Police Department. Notice of complaint was mailed by regular and certified mail, and while the certified mailing was returned to AZ Post, the notice sent by regular mail was not. And to date, Mr. Scott has not requested a hearing regarding this matter. In summary, back on March 18, 2018, Scottsdale Police received a report that a male had pulled a gun and pointed it at a group of people and then drove away in a Corvette car. Scottsdale Police located the Corvette, initiated a traffic stop, identified the driver as what amounted to be an off-duty Phoenix Police Reserve officer, Mr. Craig Scott. Scottsdale Police learned that the Reserve Officer Scott never actually drew his weapon but did display it by lifting his shirt and grasping the weapon's hand grip during the altercation. It was also learned that Officer Scott had what was identified as a quote-unquote chest bump and struck a male juvenile in the face during the altercation, facts which Officer Scott was dishonest to the investigating officer about. Officer Scott was cited in Scottsdale City Court for assault and disorderly conduct, and after he failed to appear, a warrant was issued for his arrest. To date, it is unknown what the status of that criminal investigation or case is in the court system. On July 26, 2018, Officer Scott resigned his position from the Phoenix Police Department. Research by AZ Post staff has determined in past similar fact-based circumstances, the board action has resulted in revocation. Be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Chair, I have to recuse myself, Alan Rosville.
Okay. Any questions, comments? Having none, we have a motion.
Frank Milstead, I propose that we accept the findings of fact conclusion of law and impose a sanction of revocation.
Paul Ehler, second the motion.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Mr. Perkovich, we're moving on to 18-098.
Yes, and once again, on October 17, 2018, the board voted to initiate proceedings against peace officer certification. This was held by Mr. Zechariah Stone, formerly with Sierra Vista Police Department. And again, the notice of complaint was mailed by regular and certified mail. While the certified mailing went unclaimed and was returned to AZ Post, the mailing sent by regular mail was not. And to date, Mr. Stone has not requested a hearing. In summary, back on May 31st, 2018, Officer Stone was backing his patrol vehicle out of his driveway when he struck the personal vehicle of another City of Sierra Vista employees, referred to as Ms. A.H. The left rear bumper of Stone's patrol vehicle struck the right rear passenger side quarter panel of A.H.'s vehicle, resulting in damage to both cars. Stone advised Ms. A.H. that he had just struck her vehicle, and they both looked at the damage to the vehicles. Mr. Stone advised Ms. A.H. that he could fix her vehicle and that he would handle the situation. This led her to believe that he would report it and take the proper police report to document it. Later on June 2nd, 2018, Officer Stone was less than truthful when he reported to his supervisor and on the City of Sierra Vista crash report that damage to his patrol vehicle occurred on June the 2nd, the wrong date, as well as the circumstance when he proclaimed that he backed out of his driveway and struck a plastic trash container. Officer Stone was also dishonest with investigators in his explanation of what occurred during the internal affairs investigation. Ultimately, on July 17, 2018, Officer Stone was terminated from Sierra Vista Police Department. And research by AZ Post staff has determined in past similar fact-based circumstances, the board action has resulted in revocation. Are there any questions regarding this matter?
No questions. May I have a motion?
I make a motion that we accept the findings of fact, conclusion of the law, and impose a sanction of revocation. Frank Milstead.
Chuck Ryan, second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Mr. Perkovich, 18-012.
Yes, Mr. Chair, another case from October 17th, 2018, where the board voted to initiate proceedings. This time it was against a peace officer certification held by Mr. Frederick Bitsoy, who was formerly with the Navajo Division of Public Safety. The notice of complaint was mailed by regular and certified mail. While the certified mailing was returned to AZ Post, the mailing sent by regular mail was not. And to date, Mr. Bitsoy has not requested hearing. In summary, it was on November 7th, 2017, that Officer Bitsoy was arrested for domestic violence assault by his employing agency, the Navajo Division of Public Safety. This was after he physically assaulted his live-in girlfriend, Ms. DT. The assault occurred as Ms. DT sat in a vehicle parked on the roadside in Twin Lakes, New Mexico. Officer Bitsoy and Ms. DT were engaged in a verbal argument over the keys to the vehicle, and Ms. DT reported that Officer Bitsoy struck her twice in the left side of her head with a closed fist. Ms. DT was able to walk away from the scene and call 911. She sustained a one-inch hematoma to the left side of her forehead and swelling to the back of her head. Officer Bitsoy entered into a deferred prosecution agreement, and as of September of this last year, he had not completed it successfully. It's unknown whether or not he met the terms of that agreement. On December 3rd, 2017, Officer Bitsoy resigned in lieu of termination. Research by AZ Post staff has determined in past similar fact-based circumstances, the board action has resulted in revocation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
No questions. May I have a motion?
I want to clarify the notes, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Your note says, in the past, is anywhere between suspension and revocation. So,
yes.
Okay, you mentioned revocation.
Did I just say?
Yes.
Yep, my apologies.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I'll make a motion then. Alan Rodbell, I make a motion. We accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and impose a sanction of revocation.
Frank Milstead, second.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Mr. Perkovich, 18-081.
Yes, sir. Back on October 17th again, 2018, the board voted to initiate proceedings against a peace officer certification held by Mr. Dean Hadley. Mr. Hadley is formerly with the Apache County Sheriff's Office. The notice of complaint again was mailed by regular and certified mail. While the certified mailing was signed for by an occupant of the Hadley home on October 26, 2018, to date, Mr. Hadley has not requested a hearing. In summary, on May 9th, 2018, a female by the name of Ms. M.H. notified the Apache County Sheriff's Office that between the dates of April 8, 2018 and April 26, 2018, she and Officer Dean Hadley had engaged in sexual intercourse multiple times while he was noted to be on duty. Ms. M.H. was also alleged that Officer Hadley had sent her a text picture of his penis while in uniform. Officer Hadley was interviewed by an investigator and initially denied all allegations. When pressed further by the investigator, Officer Hadley admitted to all of the allegations made by Ms. M.H. And on May 17, 2018, Officer Hadley resigned in lieu of termination. Research by AZ Post staff has determined in past similar fact-based circumstances. Court action has resulted in a suspension to revocation. Are there any questions today?
Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I just have a question for maybe discussion. How do we factor in when they don't respond to our letters? How do we, I guess, weigh that?
Mr. Perkovich?
I think this matter was addressed by Mr. Saltz prior as far as proper service and U.S. mail. Seth, did you have a speak to that as far as proper service of our complaints?
Well, I guess I think the question was when they don't respond to the letters. Are we talking about whether or not they were served or whether or not they respond?
No, the question is, how do we weigh that in determining the sanction, or can we?
Well, that's entirely up to you. When the board initiates proceedings, they send the complaint out. It's up to them if they want to request a hearing or not. They're not required to respond, but if they don't, essentially the board can essentially deem the allegations admitted. That's their opportunity. The notice is in there, explains what their rights are and what they can do if they want to challenge. It could be looked at that their failure to respond is they're not challenging the allegations. So you can weigh that however you wish.
Mr.
So I don't know if that's a question of how we do it as individually as board members or a question of how staff guides us, but that doesn't pertain to the facts and circumstances of the case in which we're making a decision. That's process as far as I'm concerned, and they either participate in the process or choose not to. I base my decision solely on what the facts of the case are in determining what's appropriate. And I do weigh in the fact of what's past history from this board, so there's some consistency within on the board.
Okay. Any other questions or discussions on that matter? Having none, could I have a motion, please?
Paul Ehler, I'll make a motion that we accept the findings of fact and conclusions as law and impose a sanction of revocation.
Chuck Ryan, second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Mr. Perkovich, 18-094.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Back on October 17th, again, 2018, the board voted to initiate proceedings against peace officer certification, this time held by Mr. James McCall, who was also formerly with the Apache County Sheriff's Office. The notice of complaint was mailed by regular and certified. While the certified mailing was returned to AZ Post, the complaint sent via regular mail was not. And to date, Mr. McCall has not requested a hearing. In summary, back on May 19th, 2018, at approximately 0345 hours or 3:45 a.m., Officer McCall was off duty but received a phone call from dispatch wherein they dispatched him or sent him to a suicidal subject call. The call was noted to be approximately 4 miles from Officer McCall's residence. At approximately 4:53 a.m., dispatch attempted to contact Officer McCall over the radio as they had not heard from him in over that hour's time. When dispatch could not reach Officer McCall via radio, they called his cell phone. When the dispatcher asked Officer McCall if he was out looking for the suicidal subject, Officer McCall advised that he was out in the woods looking for him. Dispatch felt as if they had just woken Officer McCall and that he was not actually out handling the call for service. As such, dispatch immediately contacted Sergeant Sloan, who was on duty, requested that he do a drive-by of Officer McCall's house to see if he was there. Approximately 10 minutes later, Sergeant Sloan advised dispatch that Officer McCall was home, not out on the call for service, as he had mentioned, as his vehicle was parked in front of the residence. Sergeant Sloan did not make contact at this time with Officer McCall, but responded instead to the suicidal subject call that was originally dispatched. Sergeant Sloan was successful in locating the person, safe and unharmed, at his residence at approximately 5:31 in the morning. This was about an hour and 46 minutes after the original call for service. Later that same morning, again having not contacted Officer McCall about his failed response, Officer McCall authored an incident report detailing his movements on this call to include an attempt to locate that he put out for the suicidal subject, who had already been located and contacted by Sergeant Sloan earlier that morning. When given notice of the investigation, Officer McCall resigned his employment before he could be interviewed. Research by AZ Post staff has determined in past similar fact-based circumstances, the board action has resulted in revocation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Then I ask for a motion.
Alan Rodwell will make a motion to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and impose a sanction of revocation.
Greg Gilstead, second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. We'll be moving on to new cases. Mr. Caldwell, case number 16-127.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Billy Caldwell, one of your compliance specialists.
Good morning.
This case involves Mr. Sheridan, formerly with the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. The background on the case is that United States District Judge Murray Snow presided over a 2008 lawsuit, Melendrez v. Arpaio, in which plaintiffs alleged MCSO engaged in a pattern of discriminatory treatment. Litigation in the case took place over the course of many years. Post staff reviewed documents and recordings relating to the Melendrez case and identified three main areas of concern. First area of concern was that Judge Snow determined Chief Deputy Sheridan violated two orders of the court issued in Melendrez. First order was a preliminary injunction from 2011. It essentially prohibited MCSO from enforcing federal immigration law. Judge Snow determined that Chief Deputy Sheridan was fully aware of the injunction and was responsible for implementing its terms, but took no steps to do so. The second order was from May 14th, 2014. On that date, Judge Snow instructed MCSO to come up with a plan to quietly gather audio and video recordings made by MCSO deputies and to get approval of the plan from a monitor team established to provide oversight over MCSO. Judge Snow wrote that Chief Deputy Sheridan agreed to cooperate with this order, but later in the same day, Chief Deputy Sheridan apparently ordered a subordinate to send an email to MCSO commanders directing them to gather recordings from their personnel. This was done without consulting or getting approval from the monitor team and possibly affected the collection of evidence in the case. The second area of concern involved Judge Snow's finding of fact that Chief Deputy Sheridan was in civil contempt of court in Melendrez, and that related to the previous two court orders that I just spoke about. Regarding the third area of concern, an independent investigation sustained MCSO policy violations against Chief Deputy Sheridan involving untruthfulness and false statements. The report concluded the following. Chief Deputy Sheridan consistently testified under oath that he first became aware of Judge Snow's 2011 injunction in the Melendrez case on March 27, 2014. Chief Deputy Sheridan was actually made aware of the injunction prior to that date. He learned of the injunction via press coverage, attendance at meetings where the injunction was discussed, and internal communications at MCSO, all of which apparently occurred prior to March 27, 2014. The independent investigator wrote, and I quote, "The testimony by Chief Deputy Sheridan that the first time he recalls becoming aware of the preliminary injunction was during his deposition of March 27, 2014, was a knowing misrepresentation to the public and other governmental agencies. Chief Deputy Sheridan denied knowingly disobeying clear orders of the court or providing false information during sworn testimony. He explained over the course of various interviews that matters relating to the Melendrez lawsuit were handled by other supervisors at MCSO, and any failure to act on his part was unintentional or inadvertent. I'd be glad to answer any questions you all have about this case.
Any questions?
So I don't know whether to recuse myself or to ask questions, but I think we're all pretty much, I mean, at least I'm friends with Jerry Sheridan through, you know, work. But I have questions, but I don't know if I should even be weighing in on this, so.
And unfortunately, that's probably true about a number of us up here. I guess if we initiate proceedings, you would look into the matter, correct? Which is basically investigating the complaint.
We've already looked at the complaint, sir, and we've written up the overview. Obviously, if you initiate proceedings, that would start the process, and Mr. Sheridan could request a hearing, and then it would go in front of the ALJ for a finding of fact.
I think several of us are in the same boat, yeah. Frank.
Mr. Chair, what is the process if a number of board members have to recuse themselves and there's no quorum?
Well, if you lose a quorum today due to recusal, then the issue becomes, if the board was fully constituted full of members, would you have a potential quorum to be able to take action? If you could, then the matter basically sits until such time as you have a quorum that could act. If the number of recusals would create a situation where if the fully constituted board with individuals available, not conflicted, would constitute a quorum, would not constitute a quorum, then the rule of impossibility would kick in, all members would come back and be able to participate.
Now say that again.
Yeah. Not all of it.
There's a rule of impossibility. You have a 13-member board if it is fully constituted, so it requires a quorum of seven to be able to act. I believe currently there's two vacancies still left on the board. Those two vacancies are taken into account, so you're still, any quorum is based upon a fully staffed board. So if you had a fully staffed board of 13, you would need seven members who are not conflicted to be able to participate. If fully constituted, you have seven recusals, then it's impossible to get a quorum. So the rule of impossibility, all the board conflicted board members could come back and participate. But if you have full 13 members and only six are conflicted, you would still have a quorum to be able to go forward.
Okay, well, who is conflicted today, please?
Frank Milstead.
There's also the issue of, you know, is it a mandatory recusal, or is it a situation where, just based upon personal knowledge, you feel that you can't be, it may affect your ability to weigh, may create a bias or prejudice one way or the other based upon your knowledge of the individual. If it's just someone you're friends with, but you feel you can still participate without your judgment being impacted, you're not required to recuse, but it's a personal decision for each individual member.
Okay. I would again ask, with that information, please raise your hand if you think you would be conflicted at this point.
Frank said I'm going to recuse myself.
There's two.
Andy LaFever.
Alan Rodville.
Three. Obviously, we don't have a quorum then today.
So you can't go further today.
So we can't.
It could be placed on future meeting agendas until such time as you have an actionable quorum to take.
And
can you give me 1 second?
Certainly. I think that would still, with three recusals and filling the other posts, that would leave us 10.
Sorry about the interruption, sir.
No problem. Did you wish to say anything else?
At this point, if you have those three refusals, you don't have a quorum. There's nothing further to do with that case today.
Then we will table this case till at which time we have a quorum.
You had three members that are absent today. If they're here, as long as they're not conflicted, you may still have, still have a quorum to go forward. So we can put it on the next meeting agenda, get their position, whether they're conflicted or not, and determine then if it can.
Yes, please, if you would ask before they all get here, just to confirm we have a quorum, and until then we'll table this for future, and we will move on to our next case, which is going to be 18159. Morning, Mike. How are you, sir?
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Mike Dalton with your compliance unit. This case involves former Cottonwood Officer Cole Nixon. In November of 2018, the Cottonwood Police Department received a complaint from a citizen alleging that Officer Nixon was possibly engaged in some sort of sexual conduct on duty with a another person. He was brought in for a NOI Garrity interview by Internal Affairs Sergeant, Cottonwood Sergeant Monica Colt. Sergeant Colt asked him to explain what information he might have. He said he does know the other person involved. It's a Miss A.T., who is a Yavapai County Jail employee that he met just through booking prisoners, and he only knew her through that setting, a professional setting. They did strike up a friendly relationship, he said. Shared a couple of texts, but they had no contact outside of that environment. No off-duty contact, no sexual contact, no kissing, no contact at all. That interview was concluded, but the next day, on November 20th, he authored an email, sent that back to Sergeant Colt, and stated that he had recalled since the interview the prior day that he and AT had decided to meet later in a night on one of the shifts, but it never came to fruition. He never showed up. They never actually met. They were going to meet and share a kiss, and that was it, a goodnight kiss, he said, but he never showed up, and it never happened. Towards the end of his email to Sergeant Colt, Officer Nixon wrote, "I eventually did not go and never met up with her, Miss A.T., that night or any other night prior or after." The next day, Sergeant Colt brought him back in, Officer Nixon back in, for a follow-up interview regarding the email. And at the onset of the interview, Officer Nixon said, "I just want to make it clear that I actually didn't divulge everything. The information wasn't completely correct in the interview or the email. I actually did meet up with Miss A.T. about 3 or 3:30 in the morning on one of my shifts. She was off duty. It was just outside the city limits of Cottonwood, and we shared a couple of kisses and no other contact, and that was it. He said that he had withheld that information initially in the interview and the email because he was fearful his wife would find out. Later on, in another interview with Miss AT, she did confirm that it did occur, the kissing did occur, but that was the only contact they had outside of the jail environment. Officer Nixon was subsequently terminated from his appointment due to untruthfulness. A few days later, he was appointed by the Williams Police Department, and that he is currently an officer with Williams PD. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Would you recuse me, and Chief Rodbell will be filling in for me.
Any questions? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Frank Milstead, I move that we leave this up to agency discretion.
I have a motion. Do I have a second? Further discussion?
So I guess, you know, getting back to my question, I mean, I thought we drew a pretty strict line with the Garrity question before in the past about somebody lying after they've been and it made aware that they're under investigation and or under Garrity. So but I guess I just question if that is the policy of the board. Okay.
I have a motion. Motion dies for lack of a second. Do I have another motion?
Pam Medina, make a motion to initiate proceedings.
Motion to initiate proceedings. Do I have a second?
Paul Ehler, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Motion passes by one nay.
Thank you for filling in.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Jacobs. We're moving on to 18150.
Yes, sir. This involves a former Phoenix recruit who on September 18th, 2018, overslept. However, instead of call, this was during his pre-academy before the actual formal academy started. Phoenix has a pre-academy where they're required to attend. Instead of calling and just reporting that he had overslept, he called and had fabricated a story that he had driven to a gas station and his battery died and he had got stranded there for an extended period of time. Are there any questions?
Having no questions, may I have a motion?
Frank Milstead, I move that we start proceedings.
Tom Rodbell seconds.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Jacobs, moving on to 18158.
Yes, this involves a former Phoenix police officer. This person had just recently graduated the academy. He was in Scottsdale enjoying the nightlife. He left the drinking establishment and came back after hours asking to be allowed back into the establishment, claiming that he had left his driver's license inside. The security denied him access. He identified himself as a police officer, flashed his badge, and asked to speak to management. He was again denied access by security. Security also noticed two Scottsdale bike officers riding by, flagged them down. The Scottsdale officers responded. They spoke to Officer Gonzalez, who initially said that he was a police officer, but refused to provide any credentials or any identification indicating so. He again said that his driver's license was inside and he needed to get it. The Scottsdale police questioned him again about his status as a police officer. He then denied having displayed his badge to security. He was arrested on suspicion of impersonating a police officer. However, search incident to arrest found his police credentials, police badge, and his driver's license. He resigned. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chair, I'll recuse myself.
Record reflect. Any?
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
when he was being interviewed by the Scottsdale police officer, did he at some point tell him that he wasn't a police officer?
He told them he was a police officer, but he refused to identify himself as such, and then he denied having ever displayed his badge or identifying himself to the security personnel.
Any other questions? You may have a motion.
Chuck Ryan, I recommend we initiate proceedings.
I have a motion, and is there a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion does carry. Mr. Jacobs, 18-152.
Yes, this is a current Academy cadet. During an audit of his background file, it came to the attention of the person reviewing the file that he had previously applied to Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, and in doing so, during a polygraph examination, admitted to willfully lying and about his prior employment by denying that he had ever been terminated or asked to resign in lieu of termination. He also made the admission to the polygraph examiner for Maricopa County that he had done so to make himself appear better. Post did an investigation on this matter, found that he had also applied to the Department of Public Safety, to the Glendale Police Department, the Scottsdale Police Department, and the Surprise Police Department. He did a few of the applications were only the online interest, but he did submit detailed information to Glendale, the Department of Public Safety. And it was noted that in those applications that he had also told similar mistruths about his employment history, one of which was also noted during the polygraph administered by the Department of Public Safety. Going through the Phoenix application, he also had denied during their application process to having ever been terminated or asked to resign or being disciplined by any previous employer. He was interviewed at the academy by post staff. During that interview, Cadet Leader made the statement that his being a pastor, how people perceive him was very, very important, and that he had stated these mistruths to preserve that perception. He did admit to providing on multiple occasions false information in his effort to become a police officer. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
So Phoenix PD has not terminated him?
No.
And they're Phoenix PD wants to keep him around?
I can't speak for Phoenix. They have not. They're aware of this, and they are not terminating him.
Any other questions? Comments? I would ask for a motion.
I have one more question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
How did this get to the board at Phoenix? Is it because you guys found it through compliance?
Yes.
Okay.
What is normally the process, something like this, during a new case?
It is a violation of post rules to willfully provide false information to obtain certification, and based on that rule and the fact that they are cautioned on their application process on their post personal history form that willfully providing false information in that form is a crime under Arizona statutes, that we investigate. And it's up to you to make a determination on whether you want to initiate a complaint or not.
Any other comments or questions?
This is not the first time we've seen this.
Right? No, sir.
Yeah. Or something like this. First time we've seen this case.
May I have a motion?
Tom Rodwell makes a motion to initiate proceedings.
Matt Medina, I'll second it.
Excuse me. Any other discussion on the motion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries. Mr. Jacobs, 18-145.
Yes, with the chair's permission, I'd like to do 18-145 and 18-130 collectively. They are related matters.
I have no problem with that. Anybody else have any concerns? Or all right, proceed, sir. Thank you.
Yes, case 18-145 involves a Phoenix police officer mogul. Case 18-130, an officer Tiona, also from the Phoenix Police Department. Both these officers were attending a investigator training for Rio Salado Community College. Although not required by the Phoenix Police Department, it is a requirement if they want to ever become a detective within the department. The instructor for Rio Salado, towards the end of the course, was doing review and noted that Officer Mogul and Officer Tiona had submitted an assignment that contained identical work. An email was sent out to both officers inquiring. Both denied having shared information or having plagiarized information. The investigation was initiated when Phoenix became aware of this, and it was determined that Officer Mogul was true. He did not plagiarize information and initially denied, but only allowing a certain amount of information to be provided to Officer Tiona. However, later, when shown several different assignments where Officer Tiona's work replicated his, he admitted that he did indeed provide Officer Tiona with several assignments of his. Officer Tiona likewise responded to the email that denied plagiarizing. However, after being given Garrity, he admitted that he did on occasions take Officer Mogul's work and use it as his own. Are there any questions?
Having none, may I have a motion for both case 18-145 and 18-130? Would they be separate?
Yeah, the presentation could be joint, but right. It should probably take separate
action. Okay. So let's start with 18-145, and may I ask for a motion for that specific case?
Well, let me ask a question.
Okay.
Because I'm a little confused. So Mogul shared his information with somebody else, but it was his work.
Yes, he knew Tiona was struggling with the course and did so to help him. He said he did not know that Tiona was actually cut and pasting his work into his own assignments, but he was providing him information to try giving guidelines and assistance on how to progress through the course.
So he's assisting, he's mentoring, he's coaching, he's showing, demonstrating, but he's not intending to take my work, put your name on it, and send it in.
Officer Mogul did not plagiarize. Where he got sideways was when he was asked about sharing an assignment. They showed him the assignment. He goes, yes, I shared that assignment, but I didn't do it any other times. And then they bring out two or three more assignments where it was similar.
But he tells somebody that.
Yes.
That's a truthful statement, right?
That he did not plagiarize?
He tells when he's being interviewed, whoever he's being interviewed by, is it Internal Affairs in this case?
Yes.
That I did share my assignments. He says that.
I shared one assignment.
He signed one assignment. Yeah. And we know each assignment.
And he stuck with that one assignment until he was presented with the facts that he had also shared. I think it was two or three other assignments with him that Officer Tiona plagiarized.
Okay. And this doesn't tell me what the status is currently? I don't see a dismissal or anything like that. Does it say that somewhere?
Tiona was dismissed. Officer Mogul was not.
Okay. So Officer Mogul's status is he still works for PSC.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments on case 18-145? Having none, may I have a motion?
Paul Euler, I'd make a motion, no action, agency discretion.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Frank Milstead, second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
The motion carries. Now we're moving to the second half, which is back to 18-130. Is there any other questions or discussion before I ask for a motion?
Alan Rodwell will make a motion to initiate proceedings.
Chuck Ryan, second.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We're moving on to the last new cases of the day, 18-067. Ms. Waite, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Lori Waite, one of your compliance specialists. This last case, number 18067, is on Gabriel Guerrera, former sergeant with the Globe Police Department. In February of 2018, Guerrero was interviewed by investigators in reference to a citizen complaint that Guerrero sexually assaulted Miss VC in December 2016 at his home. Miss VC had reported to investigators that she had told Guerrero she did not want to have sex with him on that occasion, and she had also told him no several times prior to and while the encounter was taking place. Miss VC also advised that she and Guerrero had been friends for quite some time and had had a sexual relationship spanning 20 plus years. When Guerrero was asked if Miss VC had ever told him no in reference to sexual encounters during their 20-year relationship or during the incident in December 2016, Guerrero initially denied the allegation that she had made against him, but eventually conceded during the interview and after Garrity warnings that she had, in fact, had told him no. He was terminated from the Globe Police Department, and he appealed his termination, and the hearing officer in that particular hearing concluded that Guerrero was less than truthful with the investigator about this issue when asked during his administrative investigation. Be happy to answer any questions.
Having no questions, I would ask for a motion.
Matt Medina, make a motion to initiate proceedings.
Alan Rockwell, seconds.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion on the motion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Ms. Waite. This time, I would put out a call to the public. Anyone interested? We have one, it looks like.
We have one card so far, Mr. Chairman, from Steve Zerbalek regarding initiating proceedings.
Good morning, sir. I'd ask you to keep it to 3 to 5 minutes, but welcome and good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As most of you on the board know, my name is Steve Zerbalek. I regularly appear here, and I represent police officers at various stages of disciplinary proceedings throughout the state. My topic of conversation I want to talk about, especially based off of hearing some of the comments and concerns today, concerns initiating proceedings and when that occurs and the proper role of the specific departments in terms of handling some of the department's investigations and disciplinary matters that come out. The board obviously has an important role in maintaining the integrity of the profession. At the same time, there's also a concept of consistency and a concept of finality that I think that peace officers and the public would hope to have in place for the men and women that wear a badge and gun and work here. When matters come to the board through the normal course, through basically separation, through either resignation or through disciplinary action, this becomes pretty easy for the board staff to evaluate things. But when things come in on an ancillary note, to me and to the clients that I represent, this creates some serious concerns related to consistency, related to making sure that the agencies have the proper opportunity to develop a record. I'd also like to remind the board, because I see this personally, every single case that I have before post, that initiating proceedings is not cost-free. It's not the board staff's fault. They're doing the best that they can with the resources that they have. Your staff works really hard. But the time from initiating a proceeding to a hearing to then a resolution can take years. And the practical effect of that is that these guys can be frozen out of employment for a substantial period of time to wait for their hearing to then develop a record. And that's a really serious consequence, even if ultimately the decision is a retroactive suspension. So I would encourage the board, hopefully one of the thought processes that's going through your guys' heads when you're considering initiating proceedings is, do we have a fully developed agency record? What did the agency actually do here? And did this come through the normal course, through an actual separation? Or was this an ancillary report, a jilted ex-girlfriend that now reports things or a news story or something else like that. Because there is a real cost to initiating proceedings. It's not just, okay, we're going to investigate further. This has a substantial impact on employment. Because as a matter of policy, very few agencies in the state of Arizona will actually hire someone while their case is under as post-review. So I'd just like to offer that comment for your guys' consideration when you're looking at future items. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments or discussion on that?
You can't. It's a call to the public.
Oh, sorry. Any other?
If the board has questions or concerns, you can have the issue placed on a future meeting agenda so it's properly noticed, and you can have a dialogue and conversation at that time.
Thank you, Seth. Anyone else from the public? For call to the public. Having none, any future agenda items we need to discuss, Director?
Nothing from us at this point, sir, but we'd be happy to take anything under advisement from the board.
Yes, please.
We can talk about opening up the rules again. I think that, is that a, like a state decision? Okay. Do we have any idea timeline on that, when that occurs?
When we ask for permission from the governor's office to do that.
Okay.
And then the process is lengthy.
I was under the impression we were going to try to do that this year.
That is correct.
Okay. So I was just curious to see when that would start. Thank you.
Anything else? Then I would say we are adjourned. Thank you all very much. Have a great day.
Hey, check for that contract. I think